Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the child of Bethlehem, who is indeed our Lord and our King. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what in a name? In our modern American society, a person's name really does not have a great deal of significance attached to it. Take, for example, the name Steve. By itself, the name Steve doesn't have much significance at all. But in the right context, now even an ordinary name can take on extraordinary significance. Before my mom was called home to heaven, if anyone handed her the phone and said, "It's Stevie," now that ordinary name had a great deal of significance, at least for my mom. And I have learned the joy of walking into a room where all of my grandchildren are playing and have at least one or two of them stop what they are doing, come running across the room with their hands in the air and say, "Papa Steve, Papa Steve." By itself, the name Steve doesn't have a great deal of significance, but in certain situations, it most certainly does have significance. You undoubtedly know where I'm going with this, my friends, especially if you have looked ahead to see that our sermon text for today is just one single verse on the pages of God's holy word. Our text for this morning is recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Our goal this morning, as we gather together here in God's house on this last Sunday in the year 2018, is to see how this seemingly insignificant event gives to us an eternally important answer to the question, what's in a name? First, a little bit of history is in order. When Father Abram was 75 years old, the Lord God of heaven and earth called him to leave his homeland, to leave his household, to leave his father, to leave absolutely everything he knew behind, and go to the place that God would show him. That's when the Lord God first entered into a special covenant relationship with Father Abram. In that covenant relationship, the Lord God promised that one of Abram's descendants would indeed be the promised Messiah, the one through whom all nations on earth would be blessed. Included in that covenant relationship was God's promise that one day he would give to Abram's descendants the land of Canaan, a land that quickly became known as the Promised Land. 24 years later, my friends, think about that. 24 years later, God confirmed his covenant with Abram by changing his name. He changed his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of many nations. It was also at that time that God gave to Father Abraham the outward sign of that special covenant that God had created with him, the rite of circumcision. Every male descendant of Abraham now had to be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. That circumcision became a sign that a male descendant of Abraham had also been brought into a special covenant relationship with the Lord, the one and only living God. Luke then proclaims to us in our text for today that some 2,000 years later, in faithful obedience to the command of the law of God, Joseph and Mary brought their 8-day-old son Jesus to be circumcised and officially gave him the name Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. What to most people seemed like a relatively common, albeit important ceremony, took on eternal significance when that name was given to that child. The eternal significance of Mary's child being given that name is brought out in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You may recall that the angel said to Joseph in a dream, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus very literally means the Lord saves. So let's take a moment to reflect on this, my friends. Circumcision was the outward sign of that covenant that the Lord God graciously established with Abram some 2,000 years before the child of Bethlehem was born. In that covenant, God promised Abram that one of his descendants would be the promised Messiah, this world's only Savior from sin. Included in that special covenant was God's promise of a gift, the gift of the promised land. Do you see where I'm going with this? While the name Jesus was a relatively common name among the descendants of Abraham, when that name was given to that child, the child of Bethlehem, on the day that he was circumcised, now that name does indeed bring with it extraordinary significance, eternal significance, in fulfillment of the promises of God. The promise that was first given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the promise that was then handed down through men such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fulfillment of the promises of God, the Son of God came into our world to not only fulfill the covenant that the Lord had made with Father Abram, but also to establish a new covenant with you and with me. Both the old covenant and the new covenant were focused on the very same goal, the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Both the old covenant and the new covenant included the gift of a promised land. For over 2,000 years, the Old Testament rite of circumcision brought that tiny little baby into a special covenant relationship with the Lord, the one and only living God. But what about now? How does the God of heaven bring a child into a special covenant relationship with him? Now in the New Testament era, the good Lord has given to us the sacrament of holy baptism. When a child is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself washes that child clean of all of their sins, and he puts his name on them. He adopts them to be his own dearly beloved child, and he writes their name in his precious book of life. In other words, through the sacrament of holy baptism, even the youngest child becomes a Christian. At the same time, this glorious covenant that God establishes with that child gives to them the privilege of inheriting. They inherit their heavenly Father's home, the kingdom of heaven itself. And let's not forget that this glorious covenant that God himself established with us at the time of our Christian baptism is expressed and affirmed every single time we receive the Lord's Holy Supper. Jesus reminds us of this truth when he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Right about now, you might be wondering how all of this applies to the fact that we are here in God's house today to also celebrate that we are leaving behind a new year or leaving behind an old year and entering into a new year. There are two answers to that question. First, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, working through God's holy word and God's holy sacrament, you and I have been given that special covenant name, Christian. As we gather together here in God's house on this last Sunday in the year 2018, now is a very good time for us to look back over the course of the last year and ask ourselves a very important question. That question is this: how well have I lived up to the covenant name that the God of heaven has given to me when he adopted me to be his own dearly beloved child? Since I can only speak for myself, I will confess that as I look back over the year 2018, I can see that there are indeed times when I could have done better in living up to the covenant name that God has established with me. Thankfully, both you and I have the privilege of receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion on a regular basis. Through this holy sacrament, God Himself promises me that all of my sins are completely forgiven and that I am His own dearly beloved child. My encouragement to you, my friends, is that every time you are preparing your heart to receive His Holy Supper, that you take a moment to remember. Remember that the promises of God hold just as true for you as they do for me. The second way in which this text applies to our service this morning is that it points us ahead to the new year. As Christians, we can look forward to the year 2019 with the confidence of knowing that it is indeed a brand new year. By God's grace and with God's guidance, we can leave our past behind us and enter into the new year with a clean slate, so to speak. By God's grace and with God's guidance, this new year gives us yet another opportunity to strive to live up to the covenant name that God has given to us. By God's grace and with God's guidance, this new year also gives us an opportunity to let our lives openly proclaim to everyone around us that we are in a special covenant relationship with the one and only living God, a covenant relationship that is founded on the forgiveness that God's Son won for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill, a covenant relationship that guarantees to us that one day we too shall inherit the promised land of heaven. What's in a name? The answer to that question does indeed vary greatly depending upon the circumstances. By itself, the name Steve just doesn't carry a great deal of significance with it. But in the right context, now it most certainly does. By itself, the name Jesus was simply a name that many of Abraham's descendants gave to their sons. While that name did indeed express their faith and their trust in the fact that the Lord saves, in the end, it was just another name. Until that name was given to Mary's child on the eighth day when he was circumcised. Now the name Jesus automatically brings with it eternal significance. Now the name Jesus automatically assures us that the Lord our God has indeed kept his promise to us to save us from our sins. May the good Lord grant that as you and I look back over the year 2019 and as or 18, and as we prepare to enter into the year 2019, that we will rejoice in the seemingly insignificant event recorded for us here in Luke 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. May we all have a truly blessed new year. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.